Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk first about the Donald Trump trial. What I wonder about is the jurors are questioned right in front of defendant Trump. Why does the court require the defendant to be present for jury selection?
Well, that's a big part of our system, that the defendant gets to be present during the entire process. And you can argue that in a case like this, that jury selection process might be the most important part of the trial, because the way people are wired coming in might be the telling factor here. But I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying is that it could be very intimidating to say things in front of Donald Trump like, yeah, I really can't stand him and I can't be fair. I mean, that's a hard thing for most people to be able to say, and especially when he's glaring at everybody, which apparently he is, that could be very intimidating. It could make people not say the things that they really need to say.
Do they use both sides jury consultants in cases like this?
They should. And, you know, I've been trying to find that out, and a couple of the venues media venues have said that, yes, there are jury consultants present, but I'm not sure. It would be silly not to have jury consultants, because, as I said, the way people are wired, how polarized is this world right now, where people are walking in, you know, they have a feeling about Trump one way or the other. There's nobody in that room that's neutral. You know, so the question is, can they put it aside and be fair? And that I give jurors a lot of credit when it comes to doing that. But to me, a jury consultant would be able to look at body language, would be able to look at the questionnaire and whether their oral answers are varying from what they wrote down in the privacy of their own homes. So those are the kinds of things that a jury consultant could really do what we call deselection, which is to get the people off the jury who are not going to be fair.
After the first day, most of the experts were saying this jury selection may take 3 weeks, and now people are saying that everything could be done by the end of this week. It's moving pretty quickly now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the first 96 jurors, half of them were dismissed and 7 were chosen, and now we have another 96. Could be done today or could be done in the next couple of days. I'm surprised it's going as quickly as it is.
Let's talk about what's going on in the case of the shooting on the set of the movie Rust, and Alec Baldwin is going to face trial. What are you forecasting here in this case?
Well, the armorer got the full 18-month sentence. That was the maximum the judge could sentence her to. And she was found guilty, of course. So the question is, how does this bear upon Baldwin's charges? And as I was thinking about it, I'm thinking that Baldwin really has two parts to this. He was the shooter as an actor. He was the one who actually, you know, had the gun in his hand. He says he didn't pull the trigger, that it went off. But he's also a producer. So the fact that Gutierrez got convicted is probably good for him as the shooter, because he was relying upon the person who was supposed to make this gun safe. And he could say, she made the mistake, I relied on her, I'm entitled to rely on her. But as a producer, you have a bigger obligation to, first of all, hire the right people and to make sure that all the people are doing their jobs. And there could be an argument that this is a low-budget movie. He hired a very young armorer who wasn't doing her job, who was flashing guns around, who brought bullets to the set, who had cocaine in her possession, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. So it kind of cuts both ways. But I do see that if he does get convicted, I can't imagine the jury judge is going to give him less than the 18-month maximum sentence.
Let's talk about O.J. Simpson. In the wake of all the news about his death, it was brought up again, that civil judgment against him, and the family of Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown never got a cent of that $114 million. How come, and what happens now?
Well, Simpson did a pretty good job of of hiding his money. He first of all moved to Florida, which has a homestead exemption, which means your house cannot be taken away and leaned. He also has a pension from football, and that is under the federal law not able to be taken from by a judgment. And now he's put money into a trust, and now the estate is going to be divvied up. And everybody knows when an estate, you know, you die, all of your assets go into the estate, and then all the debts are paid off to all the people before the heirs get their money. So this might be the only chance that these families have to collect. The problem is that if you put everything into a trust, they're going to have to break the trust. And if you put money into a trust while you have a judgment pending, that could be a fraudulent transfer, which means, you know, if the government is coming after you for, say, tax money and you put all your money into a trust or give it to your wife, that's a fraudulent transfer because you're doing it to avoid a creditor. So I think we're going to have litigation if the Goldmans and the Browns want to fight. And who knows how much money he has left after all this time? I mean, remember, he served 9 years in prison for his armed robbery. So, you know, I think we're going to see some serious litigation.
We'll see. Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Thank you, Karen. Have a good day.
You too, Bob.